What's up, guys? Will We Live, episode 18. The left is pro-woman. They love women. They always claim to stand for women. We stand for women's rights. We stand for women to be able to do everything that men do, to have full autonomy over their bodies. And they say they claim to support women, but then as soon as someone who's a conservative woman comes on the scene, she's strong, she's smart, she's intellectual, she knows what she's talking about, she's composed, they want to destroy her. The left is not pro-woman. The left is pro-left. They're pro anyone who supports their agenda. Again, going back into the religious aspect, it doesn't matter if you're a woman, it doesn't matter if you're black, it doesn't matter whatever you are, if you don't support what the left says, they think you're a terrible person. So right now, Supreme Court, we're having the hearings right now with Amy Coney Barrett, and in my opinion, I think she's doing a fantastic job. I think she's doing a great job. She's handling herself incredibly well. She's incredibly composed. These people throwing these just terrible questions at her, like the woman from Hawaii the other day, and then we had Cory Booker coming in, and just absolutely ridiculous. This whole thing where he comes in, if you guys didn't see this, he comes in, he asks her, he says, "Do you denounce white supremacy?" or something along those lines pretty closely. "Do you denounce white supremacy?" It's like, of course she denounces white supremacy. She's not a white supremacist. This whole having to go around and ask people if they denounce white supremacy is one of the stupidest things I've ever seen. Having to watch these leftists flounder by having to ask people to denounce white supremacy. Of course they denounce white supremacy. There are no white supremacists in America with any sort of political power that means anything. There's no white supremacists that are mainstream or making waves in America that are doing anything of any significance. So for the left to come on and ask and say, do you condemn white supremacy, right? All it is just a way for them to make themselves feel better and virtue signal. They're losers for asking that question. They don't have anything better to ask about how things are going to actually be done within the Supreme Court or about her record or whatever it might be. Instead, they want to ask her about if she denounces white supremacy, which is absolute foolishness. It's absolute foolishness. And then you have the whole thing with the, I believe it was the lady from Hawaii, where she's talking about sexual preference, right? Or sexual orientation. I don't want to get my podcast canceled on here for saying sexual orientation. Or for saying sexual preference. You're supposed to say sexual orientation. If you say sexual preference, that's homophobic. I have to think of all the different words. I can't even remember which one is the one that I'm supposed to use to describe what that would be, but that's homophobic. And what's funny about this is that Amy Coney Barrett, in her hearing, she said, you know, I have nothing against the sexual preferences of anyone. And the left comes out in droves and says, that's so homophobic. I can't believe that you said preferences. It's supposed to be orientation that you're supposed to say. And it's like, are you kidding me? Like, are you joking? The amount of time that these people have to go and get upset about something like that, if they had something real to get upset about her with, then they would get upset about that. But they don't have anything that's actually credible. They don't have anything to actually bring her down or bring conservatives down in an actual, you know, real debate or something about her actual ideas. They just come on and say, oh, you said this wrong. Oh, we're asking you to condemn white supremacy. And what's funny is that there was Slate, a very leftist organization, Matt Walsh did a great thing on this today, tweeting about it. But Slate had a article which basically said that sexual preference is a totally fine thing to say, and people do change their sexual orientations all the time. And Slate, this incredibly leftist source, said this. So it's only them pandering and trying to make it seem like, again, they really care about gay people, or what she said was so offensive to gay people. And it's like, I can guarantee you that gay people don't care that she said sexual preference, because obviously what means more to gay people who aren't raging leftists, is that she doesn't discriminate against them, or that she doesn't hate them, or that she wants to protect their rights. Right? Which is exactly what she wants to do. Gay people aren't coming out and getting so upset about her using the term sexual preference instead of orientation. They're happy because she actually supports them. She wants to support them, right? She wants to support them and show that she doesn't want to take anyone's rights away. And that's what she says, but that's not what the left focuses on. And the only people getting mad about these kind of things are the left. And it just goes to show that they are not pro-woman. They claim to stand for women, for women being able to break the glass ceiling. You know, what an amazing thing that women can go and do things that men can do and change America and change the world. And then as soon as it's a conservative woman, they want to shut her down. I mean, I saw there was this protester, I believe in D.C., talking about she had a mask on and she had a sign that said, F anyone who supports Amy Coney Barrett and all these terrible women. And it's like, dude, like you obviously don't care about women at all. You don't care about empowering women or lifting women up. All you really care about is pushing for your agenda. Did you watch much of it, Taylor?
I saw some highlights and I listened to Ben Shapiro's recap of yesterday on the podcast, on his podcast. But
yeah, the whole thing just, it was anti-conservative. It wasn't just anti-Amy Coney Barrett, because, I mean, it obviously was that. They were going against her on everything. But it was anti-conservative. Instead of actually battling against her, because obviously she hasn't done anything. She's not a Supreme Court justice yet. So she hasn't made anything been a justice on any cases or anything that's made any decisions or anything like this. So instead of trying to ask her about the future or ask her about these kind of things, it's more like, how can we just attack conservative ideas in general? You know, in talking about abortion, or they talked about the Second Amendment and things, and they're basically blaming her for shootings because she's a Second Amendment supporter. It's like, that's what they want to do to conservatives. They want to completely shame you just because of the things you believe in. So it doesn't matter who you are as a person, the things that you've done in your past, or the things that actually make you who you are. It's, you have these certain ideas, you have these values, and we want to destroy you for it. The left does not look at character. It's like, let's say we had these Supreme Court justices right now, okay? And the left, this is something that you can ask your leftist friends, and I guarantee you they're going to get very confused by this, okay? Ask your leftist friends and say, would you rather, oh, by the way, ask me would you rather questions for the end of this, for the end of this video. We're going to do some would you rathers.
Put them in the comments.
Put them in the comments and Taylor will put them in a spreadsheet. But would you rather have 9 black female trans, can you be female and trans? Female trans lesbians who are conservatives on the Supreme Court, 9 Supreme Court justices who are black female trans lesbians, or 9 straight white male leftists on the Supreme Court. And what do you think the left is going to do? Who are they going to choose? It's a very boggling situation for them because they say they care about race and gender and transgender stuff all the time. But then when it actually comes down to it, they would probably choose the leftists. For conservatives, obviously, we would choose the black female trans conservatives because values mean way more to us than ideas do, or values mean way more to us than race or your intersectionality, whatever it might be. Conservatives believe in people's values. Your values are what make you a good person, not that you were born black or that you were born gay or whatever it might be. That stuff doesn't mean anything to conservatives. It doesn't mean anything to me, whatever you are. I don't care what you look like, it means nothing. It's as significant as your hair color, whether or not you're black or you're gay. It means nothing to me. What matters to me is your values and ideas. And when looking at Amy Coney Barrett and seeing how she's being treated, you can tell that the left does not care about her ideas. They don't care about her values. And they also don't care about her being a woman. I don't know what they care about. All they care about is destroying her, just like they did with Kavanaugh. I mean, it's the exact same thing. They don't care about anything except the destruction of America.
Yeah, it's tribalism and identity politics. It's, you're not in the group, you know, that we're a part of. You're not, you know, a part of the group that we want to be in power. And so because you're not, it doesn't matter about your ideas. It doesn't matter about your character. We're just going to attack you from every possible angle and then invent other angles to, you know, attack you with. Like, since when before today was sexual preferences something that's offensive? Like,
never.
You know, like that's never. all of a sudden, it's now offensive to have sexual preferences, which I had heard at one point that, like, if you are a guy and you don't want to go on a date with a trans female, that's offensive.
Well, that's the stupidest
but that's
thing
a sexual preference. And it's just, now we went from just that to, like, now any sexual preference at all. And so you apparently have to be just open to all, you know, you have to be pansexual in order to be not offensive to the left.
Okay, first of all, just that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. I made a TikTok response to this where someone said, if you are a man and you don't date a transgender female, so a man who became a female, you're transphobic. Can you believe that? That's the level that these people are going to? Like, you know, God bless you if you are transgender and you're doing your thing. You know, it doesn't matter to me if you're doing your thing. Do whatever you want, okay? But the second you tell me that I have to date you or find you sexually attractive, no, I don't. You are you were a man before. I don't find you sexually attractive. I'm sorry. I just don't. And I don't think that's a very controversial thing. And I think a lot of people in the middle would totally agree with me on the same thing, and which I did. A lot of people, when I made this TikTok, they came on and they said, you know, I'm not even a conservative, but these people are insane. These people are crazy thinking that you're transphobic because you don't want to date someone who was a different gender before or might have the same genitals as you. Like, that's just absolutely insane. Anyway, that veered us a little off track. But still, it's like, it's just crazy. The people, the left, all they want is destruction. They thrive off of chaos. They thrive off of chaos. And this is, Dennis Prager was talking about this last night. I was with him at an event last night, and this actually rings very true today. In Genesis 1:1, God created the heavens and the earth, okay? God created the heavens and the earth. When God created the heavens and the earth, he was creating order. He created order in the world, okay? That is what that means. He created the order in the world. And then the left comes in who denies God, denies religion. The leftism has become their religion, and their religion thrives off of chaos. It thrives off of chaos. In a world without God, there can be no order. There can only be chaos. And so that's what we're seeing right now with the left. That's what we are seeing with these secular leftists coming in and trying to destroy conservatives, destroy people like Amy Coney Barrett, just for trying to protect this country. So there's my out the gate talking about the Supreme Court. I thought that was pretty good. I thought that was pretty good. And I probably only said like three things in there today that could get me canceled. So that's probably a new record. That's pretty good. That's pretty good today, guys. Clap for only getting canceled three times today. Great work. I have something fun for you guys today, which Taylor, actually, we found this about 5 minutes before we started the podcast. I didn't understand it at first. I didn't understand it until I read it, and I was like, okay, this is absolutely crazy. There's a lot of crazy stuff out there, but this one rubbed me the wrong way. When you guys see what it's about, and you know me, then you'll understand why. But let's get into this, okay? Why do fast, casual restaurants get a pass on appropriation? White-centered food narratives appear most often at major chains. It's time to hold them accountable. You want to know why this article sucks and why it's so bad? First of all, it speaks heavily on Chipotle. If you guys know me, I hope you do. If you're watching Will It Live, you know me a little bit. Chipotle is my favorite restaurant in the whole world. I love Chipotle. Chipotle is the best. The chicken is so good. They don't use hormones in their meat. They're very tasty.
Bill's freezer is full of Chipotle food.
It is. I meal prep with Chipotle. I go to Chipotle and I tell the lady, I say, hey, I want a whole bowl full of chicken. I say, can you fill the whole bowl up with chicken? One bowl of chicken, one bowl of steak, two bowls of rice. And she says, are you sure? And I say, I'm sure. I'm deathly positive. And then she puts it all in, and then I take it home, and I freeze it, and then I take some out at different times. That's like my meal prep for getting big. I had a Lakers jersey on today, but then people were telling me, Will, you're too buff. You're too big. You have to put a hoodie on. So I put my hoodie on. But that's what happens when you meal prep Chipotle. Anyway, this is besides the point, okay? This is besides the point. We're talking about this article and why fast casual restaurants get a pass on appropriation. So I want to read you a few segments from the article. It talks a lot about barbacoa. Basically, barbacoa is something that's served at Chipotle, but when you actually look at the origins of barbacoa in the world, it's not really barbacoa, according to this lady. And I want to show you this lady. Can we look at her face? And I just want you to tell me the first thing that you see, okay? Or the first thing that comes to your mind, you know, when you see her. I'll give you guys a second. Here she is up on the screen. I would love to know your thoughts about her. Did you take a second? Did you understand? She's not Mexican. She's not Mexican, and she's talking about Chipotle. And she's talking about Chipotle. Why does she get to say that Chipotle is racist, even though she's not Mexican, coming in and talking about it? Jenny Dorsey, that's her name. Let's get into some of the stuff in this article. I just like they say that you can't talk about something if you're not part of that race. Like, you can't talk about things going on in the black community because you're not black. It's like, well, she's talking about stuff in the Mexican community, the Chipotle community, and she's not Mexican. Anyway, let's read some of this stuff. I just want you guys to see how ludicrous things on the left are and how backwards they are. Quick-service and fast-casual businesses find interesting, trendy, flavorful ideas from any culture, dilute them into their most mass-marketable forms, and reap monetary gain without acknowledging the sources. But as we reckon with the complicated intersection of social and political structures behind food, we have an opportunity to demand... I'm thinking of Chipotle right now. We have an opportunity to demand a very different future for fast casual. Who has the time to write a stupid article like this in the first place? Like, don't you have a job? She's a professional chef, and she's writing some stupid article. You should be cooking something. Not because she's a woman.
But we need to learn about the complicated intersection of social and political structures behind food.
I know.
You don't just eat food and, you know, buy things that taste good. You need to understand all of the nuances of where it came from and why evil white men are making your burrito not faithful enough to the things that villagers are eating in rural Mexico.
I take my barbacoa and I put it in the shape of BLM. And then I eat it with chopsticks to represent all cultures.
Okay, I couldn't tell if you were like trying to be very woke or trying to be very offensive.
Both.
Which who knows these days?
You don't know. It's like this article is very offensive to me, actually.
That's true.
I think she should be home cooking, doing something else than writing this article. But seriously, like, who has the time to get upset about this stuff? Like, only people who have miserable lives. This lady's life is miserable. I know her life is miserable without even meeting her. No one has a happy life and complains about barbacoa at Chipotle. Like, it's just not true. You can't be a happy person. You are miserable, I'm sure. I wonder if she's going to see this. Someone's going to send it to her, to Jenny Dorsey, and say, this white kid went off on you for Chipotle because he loves it and you hate it. And it's like, yeah, I did. I love Chipotle. And you're coming in here talking that smack, thinking that you won't get bit back. That's what happens. While the final shredded texture of beef barbacoa may resemble that of Chipotle's slow-cooked beef combined with water, as it's described by Chipotle's culinary director Chad Browse, it comes nowhere close to representing barbacoa technique. Who cares? Who cares? I don't go into Chipotle wishing that it was super authentic Mexican food. I like it because it tastes good. It tastes better than anything on the planet. That's why I eat Chipotle, not because I think it's some super authentic thing. If I want to get authentic Mexican food, I'll go to an authentic Mexican place. I live in Los Angeles. There's so many authentic Mexican places all around. But for convenience and fast and, you know, cheap, like, I go to Chipotle. And it's great. It's good food. It's every single good thing that you could ever want. But it's like, this lady is Asian, I believe. I don't want to assume.
She's an Asian Karen chef.
She's Asian Karen chef. She's AKC. She's an AKC. She's an AKC, and it's like, if she's Asian, and she's getting all upset about people, you know, misrepresenting a culture, like, I think hamburgers are American. I'm going out on a limb here. I think they were made in Germany for the first part, but they're like American, you know? They're practically American. I would tell this lady to stop eating hamburgers. If you don't like it, you know, representing a different culture, then you shouldn't be eating something like that. You should be only eating things that represent the culture that you are a part of. Do you agree?
I agree.
Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A, exactly.
Get out of my Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
She's going to come in there and start talking about how it's not real chicken. Or in the article she talks about she talks about Nashville hot chicken at KFC.
That's true. Yeah.
And she says it's racist.
You know?
Does that do with black people? I didn't see that part. But
it's kind of appropriation.
I don't even like the barbacoa, just to be frank. I only get the chicken. I'm team chicken for sure. In calling this filling barbacoa a sharp contrast to a straightforward chicken and steak, Chipotle has found an easy way to add a marketable tinge of foreignness to its menu to back up its cred as a Mexican grill. It is a Mexican grill. I'm sorry that it's not totally authentic Mexican food, but it tastes good, and so people want to eat it. Here's the kicker. Here's the kicker about this whole thing. Food has always been entrenched in Western colonization, imperialism, and enslavement. Yeah, because Chipotle is enslaving people. You order barbacoa at Chipotle and you are practically...
a slave owner.
Yeah, you're practically... who's the guy who ran the South Army in the Civil War?
Jefferson Davis? Oh, Robert E. Lee?
Robert E. Lee. You're practically Robert E. Lee every time you buy barbacoa, bringing the South back with a Confederate flag.
Yeah, you might as well wave your Confederate flag while you order barbacoa.
I know.
Because you're enslaving the world.
enslaving those taste buds.
Entrenched,
you know,
in Western
mean?
Colonization, imperialism, and enslavement. It's like we're literally talking about Chipotle right now.
you're talking about a
burrito.
A fast food restaurant, burrito, and you're coming in and saying it's enslavement. Like, your life must suck. Life must really suck.
And it's like, why is Chipotle so successful? Because they figured out what people like. They produce something of value that people, you know, all around the country and world, you know, like. And it's a good value. It's good food. And people will buy it. And, you know, and like, that's capitalism for you. Be productive. Create something that people want. And, you know, no one wants your, you know, snobbery. And like, if you can do better than Chipotle, then do better and beat it. And, you know, take away all the white-centered food narratives and make it all super educating people and tell them how racist they are as they eat the barbacoa. But like, you know, if this is the best you can do, like, I'm sorry, you're not gonna, that's not how capitalism works.
You know? The way this lady sounds makes it seem like she's expecting Chipotle to like go to Mexico, take these Mexican people, bring them back to America and make them like cook barbacoa in the back of the Chipotle the exact way. But that like takes too long. Like, even this method that she talks about, like, is a very tedious and meticulous way to make barbacoa. It's not super easy. This is a way to get barbacoa out to the public so everyone can enjoy barbacoa. Everyone wants to enjoy barbacoa. It's the world needs barbacoa. I don't know. This is the most amount of times I've ever said barbacoa in one day. I had something else that I was just about to say. When it comes to, it's like, these things only happen when it comes to, like, minority foods, okay? So it happens with, I believe, the Nashville hot chicken from KFC, and then it happens with Chipotle. But it's like, is she going to come in and talk about, like, Italians getting upset at Pizza Hut for bastardizing pizza? Of course not. It's like, it's only things when it comes to minorities, but when it's, like, a white-centered food from a white country, then it's like, no one gets mad about it, which just shows the hypocrisy of it. It's so dumb. It's all so dumb. Let's finish this article. The way we allow these national and international chains to treat a food culture implicitly shows the respect, or lack thereof, we have for the people represented by these cuisines, and is with this backing that appropriative white-centered food narratives can take place. Do they think that I hate Mexican people because I like eating at Chipotle or because I like the barbacoa? Like, I love Mexican people. I love all people. Unless your values suck, then I don't necessarily love you, but I don't hate you. And if you don't like Chipotle, then I hate you. That's the one caveat. If you don't like Chipotle, I hate you. But other than that, I love most people. And to think that you could be racist for eating at Chipotle or saying that you're taking advantage of Mexican people or their culture just for going into a restaurant that is on almost every single street corner that everyone wants to eat is just like incredulous. It's absolutely ridiculous to me, these kind of articles. And there are lots of these kind of articles about stupid things, people talking about old things in movies or something with advertising or whatever it might be. There's always something new. And so I don't want you guys to look at this article and take it too seriously and be like, oh my goodness, the left is going to take away Chipotle. It's over for Chipotle. It's like Chipotle is going to be fine. Like Jenny Downey or Jenny Dorsey isn't taking down Chipotle single-handedly with this article. It's going to be fine. But just like some people's delusions go so deep that they write these stupid things and have miserable lives. I wonder if she's married. I'd be interested to know if she's married.
I wonder if she has any sexual preferences. Probably not.
Probably not.
Because it's racist not to prefer the original Mexican villagers who are uncorrupted by Western imperialism.
Yeah, she only has sexual preferences for authentic sexual preferences. Not this fake barbacoa sex. Anyway, that's a good way to end that.
Moving on.
Did you guys see? This is big news. I couldn't download the video in time, but the first baby pygmy hippo was born at the Chicago Zoo. I believe it was Chicago Zoo. First baby pygmy hippo. It was one of the cutest things I've ever seen. If you guys have time, I would definitely recommend going and checking it out. Are you guys ready to talk about Gavin Newsom again? I don't want to spend too much time on this, and I'll get into why I don't want to spend too much time on this. But Gavin Newsom, Governor Gavin Newsom, is now limiting gatherings to 3 families, 2 hours or less, with no singing. No singing at your family gatherings. And it's just like, I don't want to talk about this too much because it's just demoralizing at this point. Like, I don't know what else to say. every single week on my podcast, I come on here and I talk about COVID, and I live here in California, and I talk about how stupid California is and how stupid Gavin Newsom is and how like terrible all of these things that they do are. But I just have to keep doing it because every single week there's something dumb and something new about it. But it's like, I don't even know what else to say anymore. I really don't. Everything that's been said about it has been said. Like, all of this stuff is so brain dead. California has a 0.04% survival rate for the virus, or death rate, not survival rate. They have a 0.04% death rate for the virus. I mean, that is minuscule. That is a statistical anomaly to have that amount of people die in your population. And then you come on and are limiting gatherings to 3 families, only 2 hours long, and no singing. When people come over to my house, you know how long it takes to play through all of the different Mario Kart cups? It takes a long time. It takes more than 2 hours. You need at least 3 to have a successful time. Or what if someone, like a football game, like LSU coming on and playing... LSU, go Tigers, baby. LSU is coming on and playing, and their games take much longer than 2 hours. It's all so dumb. It's all so dumb. I don't know what else to say about it. Really, Taylor, would you like to say anything about it?
Well, it's on, like you talk about how it's demoralizing, and I think that's a great point because, like, you know, living under a totalitarian regime starts. It's we do whatever the heck we want and tell you to do whatever the heck, you know, we want to tell you to do. And it doesn't have to make sense. And what you think about it doesn't matter. What the science you can find that contradicts what we're doing doesn't matter. You just have to accept it. And then like week after week, month after month, you know, year after year, over time, it just demoralizes your ability to, you know, or it takes away your will to fight back and to speak out, which is why, you know, even though it's like you said, it's demoralizing to talk about it right now, I think it's important that we continue to, you know, call out the absurdity of it, because if when you stop talking is when you're in the most trouble, when you stop speaking out and when you stop saying, no, this is absurd, this is wrong. You know?
Sound like me, Taylor. Sound like someone's been watching Will It Live.
Yeah, and like, you know, like my parents lived in China up until right before the whole pandemic started. Wow. And, you know, I remember I've talked to like this guy who's a Canadian professor who's been living there for years, is married to, I believe, a Chinese woman. And we talked about just the differences in like the mentality of Chinese people. And that's a big part of it, is like their mentality is that in that culture is like it's a herd mentality. And it's just like, you don't have any rights. You don't have anything. You're just a little cockroach trying not to be crushed by the big, you know, fist or foot of government. And so it's all about, you get yours, you skip in line, you get it, you get as much as you can and hoard as much as you can, because, and then hide and comply. And you know, and like, if we're not careful, you know, this is what California is turning us into, is just like, you know, everyone's just on the defensive. Everyone's just trying to like, you know, comply.
Other people don't care. It's like, you, like, again, I go to the grocery store and I don't really have my mask on because I'm like, I'm a super rebel. And the guy just comes up to me and says, he puts his middle finger up and just says, F you, right to my face. I'm like, your daddy, Gavin Newsom, came, told you COVID is so horrible and everyone's dying. And you think that gives you the right to come up to me at a grocery store and curse me out? Like, delusional. If Gavin Newsom told people that if they slid around on the floor like a snake, like a slippery little snake, it would cure COVID, people would do it. That's how ridiculously gullible so many people are, and so naive when it comes to the things that their government are saying. You know what's a real problem? You know what's a real problem? Something I was reading. 7 out of 10 of America's youth would not qualify for military service right now. 7 out of 10 people. Is that not insane to you? 7 out of 10 people wouldn't qualify for military service because they're too fat or too out of shape. That's a horrible thing. These are things that we're not really thinking about. And especially the lockdowns and kids not going to school exacerbates these kind of problems because they're not getting exercise. I mean, that's just absolutely ridiculous. And then so many people are getting on drugs. Big Pharma is making a killing off of COVID right now, which is a terrible thing. They're taking advantage of people. People are depressed. People are sad. People are dying because of this whole thing. And it's like 0.04% fatality rate for the virus. And they're killing all these people and doing all these horrible things. And big corporations like Big Pharma, like Amazon, like other billionaires who don't give a damn about you or me or anything else are making billions upon billions of dollars off of us because they're keeping everything shut down. Our small businesses are failing and big corporations just continue to take advantage of us. And I know that sounds like I'm advocating for socialism. I'm not. But if you think, if you really think that big corporations like Amazon, if you think Jeff Bezos or the people in charge of Big Pharma have your best interests at heart, you got another thing coming. Just because capitalism is a great thing that allowed people to get rich doesn't mean that people who are rich are doing good things with the money or the power that they have. I think we should be able to all agree on that. And Republicans right now and conservatives, I mean, in my opinion, this should be our number one thing that we're focusing on. I mean, these big businesses are taking advantage of us and making us sick. It's a terrible thing. I won't go too much into that. But it's crazy out there. It's crazy out there right now. And I think that mainstream conservative people need to start talking about these kind of things and have this kind of populist message that we've seen take hold, because it's destroying us and destroying our country. On a lighter note, last week's quiz didn't go very well. For all of you guys who watched last week, it didn't go.
That was a train wreck.
Yeah, it was a train wreck. I did very poorly on a Lord of the Rings quiz. And so this week, we're going to do a quiz that I am going to need your guys' help. And Taylor, you too. We're going to do this and see if we can do this. It's funny, this is a state capitals quiz. So me and my girlfriend actually were just doing this about, I don't know, maybe a month, 2 months ago. We were doing state capitals and we were testing each other, testing each other and seeing if we could guess state capitals and all that. And so now we're going to do a quiz. And I want to see if you guys know the state capitals too, so you guys can play along at home. It's going to be a lot of fun. We have, 8 minutes to complete this entire quiz? And I want to see how well we do. Taylor, are you ready?
Ready.
Okay. How do I get this ad out of here? Why don't I have ad block, Taylor?
Because you don't listen to me.
I don't listen to you. I do listen to you. I listen to Taylor probably more than anyone else. All right, here we go. Are you guys ready? We're going to play the quiz. Capital of Minnesota. Damn it. I don't know.
Are you kidding me? I was born in St. Paul.
Minneapolis?
It's Minneapolis.
Okay. Minneapolis. Autocorrect. Why is it not autocorrect?
It's also a spelling test.
Yes, a spelling test. Enter the capital of Maryland.
Bethesda.
Bethesda, Maryland? Seriously?
I think so. Is that right?
I don't know. Enter the capital of California. Sacramento. Wow, that's the first one I got right.
So the other two are wrong?
I think the other two are wrong.
Oh, God, is it St. Paul? I was born in St. Paul. This is embarrassing.
St. Paul. Okay, St. Paul, right? That's good. Capital of Vermont.
Montpellier.
What is it? Montpellier. Montpellier.
Montpellier.
How do you spell it? Okay, good. What was the other one? Maryland. What is Maryland. Capital of Maryland? Don't Google it. We're doing this off the top.
Gosh.
Are the people saying? Yeah, can you guys
Annapolis.
Help us out? Annapolis.
People are saying Annapolis. I don't know.
Got it. Go. That's right. I'm so smart. You guys. Capital of Portland or Maine? Portland, right? Portland, Maine?
Portland, Maine.
Someone no, said Baltimore. It's not Portland, Maine. What is capital
of Maine?
Capital
of Maine is...
We've got one right so far. Sacramento.
On our own?
In the state that we live.
Come on, people.
What is the capital of Maine, guys?
No,
I already guessed Portland. All right, next one.
Augusta? Capital people of are saying Augusta.
Augusta, that is right. Good job, guys.
I've never heard of Augusta, Maine. This is bad.
You never heard of Augusta, Maine?
Oh, my gosh.
It's where where America was born. Capital of Indiana.
Indianapolis.
I knew that one. Indianapolis. Perfect. Capital of Tennessee? Knoxville.
No, my God.
No, it's Memphis.
It's Nashville.
Nashville. Oh. Are you sure? It wasn't Nashville. Oh, it was.
It's your future home.
No, I will not move to Nashville. I don't really like Nashville. I want to move to Florida. That's where I want to go. Capital of Montana, Bozeman.
No.
Right?
Helena.
What the hell? Wow. How do you know all these? Capital of New Jersey?
Because I learned Snooki. A thing or two. Snooki, New Jersey.
Snooki, New Jersey.
New Jersey. I don't know.
Cabs are here, New Jersey.
Trenton. Thank you, Penelope Trenton. Rose.
Enter the capital of Oregon. Portland, right?
Mm. Is it the capital? Was it wrong?
Or is it Eugene?
No, I don't think it's Eugene.
What is the capital?
Trenton?
That's not.
No,
that's,
the, oh, I'm sorry. Salem, Salem, Salem. I'm reading like 40 comments saying Trenton.
I'm like really making myself look so dumb right now. Capital
Slushy
of Michigan, Detroit. Easy, right? No, it's Lansing.
Lansing.
Lansing, Michigan. Yeah, I knew that one.
It's not Detroit?
No, it's not Detroit. Intercapital of Nevada, Reno? No. Las Vegas?
No.
What is it?
Carson?
Carson?
No.
No. What is the capital of Nevada?
Y'all, this is brutal. Salt? No.
No, that's
Utah. Someone said Salt Lake City? Come on, guys.
Oh, wrong answers only.
Carson City.
Carson City.
Oh, I just
City.
Said Carson. Yeah. See?
Carson City.
I get half credit for that one.
You get half credit. Massachusetts?
Carson Daly.
Boston? Carson Daly. And your capital of New Hampshire? Portsmouth?
Oh, yeah. Huh?
Right?
No. No. New Hampshire.
What is the capital of New Hampshire?
Lincoln?
Lincoln, New Hampshire? No, that's Nebraska.
Oh.
Right?
The comments are behind it. I'm like watching them and listening
to you.
I know.
I'm like, you guys are no help whatsoever.
Concord.
Concord, New Hampshire? Utah, Salt Lake City. Easy. Connecticut.
Hartford?
Hartford, yeah. That's right. I was just going to say that. Capital of West Virginia? We have 6 minutes left. We've done 16.
Oh, my gosh. This is terrible.
I know. What's West Virginia?
I don't know.
Charleston?
Mine.
It was Charleston.
That's, oh, my gosh.
That's right. Capital of Idaho? Boise. Arkansas?
Little Rock.
Little Rock, yeah. Easy. Ohio? Cleveland?
Cleveland, Columbus, just keep trying.
Just try every Ohio City. I think
Cincinnati.
I spelled Columbus wrong. How do you spell Columbus? Yeah, Columbus, all right, okay. And their capital, Wyoming. It's not Casper. Oh, Cass and I were just talking about it, so we couldn't guess it.
Freaking Wyoming.
What is it? Yeah, what is Wyoming? It's not Casper, right? No, it's not Casper.
Cheyenne. Thanks. Joey Kessler on YouTube got it first.
How do you spell Cheyenne?
Cheyenne.
I knew it.
Cayenne. No, not cayenne.
Cayenne pepper. Capital of Hawaii? Honolulu. Capital of South Carolina?
Charles? No.
No, that was
Wait,
Richmond?
It? Richmond?
No. That's Virginia. Capital of South Carolina. Guys.
How do we not know this?
Guys, we'll come back to
Greenville?
It.
Columbia.
Columbia, sure?
With a U, yeah.
Columbia.
I don't know. That's what James Summers says.
Columbia. Yeah, that was it.
And
Florida.
Megan McCarthy on
Florida
Facebook.
Florida is
you.
Tallahassee.
Yeah.
I spelled that right the first time. Capital of Rhode Island, Providence. Knew it. Capital of Arizona, Phoenix. Okay. Capital of Alaska, Nome, right? How do you spell Nome? Is it with a G?
No.
It's a G-N-O-M-E.
Well, I've never heard of that before.
How do you spell Nome? Like a gnome, you know?
G-N-O-M-E, but that's not the name of...
No. Is it gnome?
Juno. J-U-N-E-A-U.
Wait, how do you spell Juno?
J-U-N-E-A-U.
E-A-U? What? That's how you spell it?
Yeah.
And the capital of Delaware?
Oh, God.
Delaware
isn't
even a state. Delaware isn't a state. We're skipping that. We'll come back. Capital of New Mexico? Santa Fe. Capital of Alabama? Roll Tide! Tuscaloosa.
No.
I don't know what it is. Montgomery.
Montgomery or Birmingham?
How do you spell Montgomery?
Dover is Delaware.
Dover is Delaware?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
This Montgomery,
is like
M-O-N-T-G.
This is like we're not even taking this test. Capital Louisiana, Baton Rouge, baby.
Baton Rouge.
Baton Rouge. Capital of Wisconsin, Madison. Capital of Iowa, Des Moines. Des Moines. Capital of North Dakota. North Dakota doesn't have a capital. There's like 12
Bismarck.
People who live there.
Or is that South Dakota?
No, that's right. Capital of Illinois? Chicago? No.
Springfield.
Capital of Georgia? Atlanta? Yep. South Dakota?
Black Hills. I don't know.
Black Forest. We have 2.5 minutes left.
Come on, guys, we can do this.
Capital of South. We got to come back. Capital of Texas, Austin. Capital of Mississippi,
Pierre, South Dakota.
Okay, Pierre. Are you sure?
Jackson, Mississippi.
No, Pierre is what is
P I E R R E, South Dakota.
Oh right, okay. Capital of Mississippi,
what is Jackson.
Jackson,
I think.
Yep, got it. Capital of Virginia, Richmond. Capital of Nebraska, Lincoln. Capital Omaha? Of Kentucky. Yeah.
Oh,
Louisville?
Louisville. Is that right?
I don't think I spelled Louisville right.
Lexington. Or Frankfurt. People are saying Lexington and Frankfurt.
Lexington?
I don't know.
Lexington wasn't right. Frankfurt. Frankfurt wasn't right. What is the capital
of
Kentucky,
heck, guys?
Everyone?
Is it F-O-R-T? Did you do with a U-R?
Wait, what? Do
Frankfurt
what?
With an O-R-T.
Frankfort? Frankfort, who spells it like that?
Kentuckians.
Kentucky idiots in Kentucky. Enter the capital of Washington, Olympia. Capital of North Carolina, Raleigh, right? Capital of Kansas.
Raleigh.
Raleigh.
Kansas is... I don't know one city in Kansas.
Kansas. Topeka?
Oh, yeah.
Cool! Heat! Capital of New York, Albany. Capital of Colorado.
Albany. You're mispronouncing every state capital.
Wrong answers only. Capital of Denver, my house. Capital of Oklahoma.
OKC.
Do I really? Oklahoma City. And capital of Missouri. We have 1 minute, three left.
St. Louis.
How do you spell St. Louis?
I don't know. S-T period or S-A-I-N-T?
L-O-U-I-S? Oh, dang it. I spelled S-S Louis.
Or they're saying Jefferson City, Missouri. Sorry, guys. Sorry.
Sorry, Taylor's so stupid. Just kidding. He's really smart. And to capital of Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh? Or not Pittsburgh.
Pennsylvania.
Philadelphia.
Yeah. Better be.
No, that wasn't it.
Pittsburgh? Did you try? Did you try?
I don't think.
Harrisburg.
Harrisburg?
Yeah.
Where is Harrisburg? It was Harrisburg.
Oh, my
wow.
God,
we got 100%, everyone. Wow. I am so smart. Did you guys realize?
The comments actually helped us that time.
The comments actually helped us a lot.
That was brutal.
That was really
I thought
tough.
I was a lot better than that.
I know. I was like, I could do the 50 states quiz pretty easily, I think. If we have to name all 50 states, I think we'd get
that. I could do that in 5 seconds. I learned the song in third grade.
But the capitals is like difficult.
Yeah.
Did you guys enjoy that? I would love it if you left in the comments if you enjoyed playing along with that. That was fun. That was a good time. Huh?
Good time.
I had an enjoyable time.
I definitely don't want those 8 minutes of my life back.
I don't. That was the best 8 minutes I've ever spent in my entire life. Oh, now we got an ad of an old man fixing a chair or a rocking horse. Okay, back to me. And now we're going to end today's episode with some of your guys' questions. Jitsu Face said, would you rather watch Star Wars or Marvel? Marvel sucks, so... Star Wars. Elise said, would you rather meet Aragorn or Thorin Oakenshield? Aragorn, of course. Not even close. Unless maybe it was the book, Thorin, but not the movie. Oh, that reminds me. Okay. We have one more thing. I asked you guys on Instagram. I said, send in. I want you guys to complete a story. Okay? The story starts with me. I walked into Chipotle, and then I told you guys to send me the next parts of the story. And we made a story out of the things that you guys said to me. So here we go. You ready? This is a tale of a lifetime. Notarize this. Publish it as soon as it's out. Okay? I walked into Chipotle with feminine jewelry and clothing on. That was from PragerU. Thank you, PragerU. To spy on Cenk Uygur's naked body. that's on the daily. And said, hi, welcome to Chili's. Looking like a burrito. Racist. And saw a scientist dissecting an unidentifiable being. He was screaming something about seeing racism in the room with him. It was a liberal. And Biden was sniffing the workers. Makes sense. I'd sniff a Chipotle worker if they smell like that Chipotle chicken.
I mean.
And there he was.
They should make a cologne out of that stuff.
Yeah, they should. And there he was, the man she would hire to play Santa at Macy's this Christmas. And I saw a pig give birth. Then two homeless men followed me in, both named Taylor. And destroyed the restroom. But then there he was. Bubble Boy. You guys know Bubble Boy. my arch nemesis. I love it when you guys send me stuff with the bubbles too. I absolutely love it. But then there he was, Bubble Boy. And the whole place smelled like someone pooped their pants. When Obama turned and gazed into my eyes and fell in love. That's, well, Will, thanks for coming into Chipotle. We got barbacoa here. It's kind of racist, but would love it if you had some.
It took me a second to realize what voice you're doing.
I'm doing Obama. Me and Michelle. Michelle, Malia, get the barbacoa cooking. And fell in love. Without my face diaper. Next thing I remember is waking up in the hospital bed. And I shaved my hairy armpits. And Bubble Boy attacked me. Then my customer sneezed on me after testing positive for COVID, but it's okay, he was sitting. Because Will Witt told me to. Everybody dies. The end. Thank you for tuning in to my story. That was fun. At least that was fun for me. Did you guys have fun with that? I had a good time reading your guys' comments and constructing a narrative off of it from a bunch of people. When you read that story, it sounds like all of my followers are 11 years old and haven't gone through puberty yet. So it was a lot of fun to make that story. Thank you, guys. Maybe next time we'll do, like, write my presidential acceptance speech or something like that. And then you guys can write my speech for me and just be as maniacal as possible. But anyway, guys, that's where we're going to end the show today. Been about 50 minutes. Feeling pretty good about the show today, and I really appreciate you guys tuning in. Remember, if you watch this on Apple Podcasts, rate it 5 stars. Give a nice comment. If you're on social media right now, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, share this video with your friends. Really means a lot. Comment your thoughts down below, always. And like the video, because Facebook, all these places, they want to censor us. They want to censor conservatives. So when you guys show on the actual video that you like it or you leave a comment about something, it helps us out. It helps us out so that we can continue to reach more people. And I would love to know, guys, in the comments, excuse me, if there are things that you really like or things that you don't like. We're trying to gauge and make the podcast even better. We're working on a new set right now, actually. We have some new set pieces over here that we're going to try and put into place and just continue to make this better. Again, thank you to Taylor, because it's really just me and Taylor doing this by ourselves, trying to make this happen every single week. So we put in a lot of work to make it happen for you guys. So anyway, tell me what segments you like, things that you guys would like to see on the podcast, or things that, you know, you think could be better, whatever it might be. We love your feedback, and Taylor and I meticulously spend hours reading through every single thing that you guys say. So anyway, guys, really appreciate you tuning in. This has been Will Witt Live. We'll be back next Wednesday for another heater of an episode, and we'll see you guys then. Take it easy. Peace.